The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
To America Tonight, and boy, Justin Duckham joins us right at the top from Talk Radio News. He was in Ferguson, Missouri this past weekend. Justin, first of all, just set the scene for us. What was it like? We heard about tear gas and rubber bullets and all kinds of things. What did you see?
Well, it was a very intense scene, to say the least. And when people are comparing it to a war zone, you know, that's pretty accurate when it gets late at night from some people who I've been talking to who had covered legitimate ones and who have covered riots like this. This is something that they have agreed. There's never really been anything comparable to it in the U.S. So, yes, I did see SWAT trucks moving in. I was shot at with rubber bullets. Luckily, none of them hit me. And I ultimately was tear gassed on the night of the curfew. Which I can assure you was no picnic, to say the least.
Yeah, tear gas. Describe that feeling.
Well, it's basically a huge burning feeling. My eyes were pretty much out of commission for a good day and a half. You know, I already have pretty bad eyesight, and this just made it worse. Luckily, I was with a slightly more sophisticated and reporter who had been around the block a few times who had covered situations like these, and he gave me some advice right before the tear gas canisters fell. He told me to put on a gas mask if I have one. Unfortunately, I did not plan that far ahead. And then he advised me to cover up my mouth and my nose with whatever I could get my hands on. I had a black plastic trash bag in my back pocket, so I was able to use that to cover my mouth and nose. So my eyes burst immediately. My face felt like it was on fire. I immediately kind of hightailed it out of there and then sought shelter behind a building. But some people who I was next to had it a lot worse than me because they're a little bit closer and didn't have as much of a heads up as I did. And they were, puking violently. And one kind of visual I probably won't be forgetting for a while is one of them screaming, dropping to his knees, and splashing his eyes with stagnant, muddy water and utter desperation.
Wow. Oh, that's awful. So were there a lot of people in the midst of this right before you got tear gassed? Were you surrounded by all kinds of different people?
Well, the situation when I was in, it was Friday night, and we all honestly did not believe there was going to be a gassing that night solely because it was only probably about 40 to 50 people tops. These were largely peaceful demonstrators. Nobody had done anything violent until the tear gas fell. But according to Captain Ron Johnson, the captain of the Missouri State Highway Patrol, he explained to us that apparently just yards away from us there were gunmen in a restaurant, a boarded-up barbecue joint that had taken it over and were also on the roof that we were unaware of. So he said that they were not planning on using tear gas initially to break the curfew, but they needed to do so in order to get us away so they could perform a SWAT operation on that restaurant. But you know, at the time, none of us knew that, so we just kind of took it as a typical sign of an over, heavy-handed police force. And, it was a sensation that I hopefully will not experience again anytime soon.
Wow. Sorry that happened to you. Can't believe it. So as far as other conversations you had with people, what was the feeling that you came away with?
Pretty much that these are people who are absolutely outraged about what happened. The anger is absolutely palpable. There's a feeling that they've been ignored for quite some time. And I even spoke to some of the more radical and more violent people. And essentially, these are kids who, come from pretty bad situations as it is. The death of a teenager and the apparent justification from the police force has just kind of made that all the more apparent to them. And they are operating in the sense that they have really nothing else to lose. The night when we were gassed, shortly after the gas fell, we turned around the corner and we saw about three of these, real young kids, like young, just black kids, taking off their shirts, lying down on the ground in front of the gas and yelling that they were ready to die. Whether or not they were really ready to die, I can't say, but it was, certainly an indication that they feel like they have nothing left to lose and they're not afraid of the notion of arrest since, that's been something that's been drilled into them for quite some time.
Yeah, and you were there Friday, too, as you said, over the weekend, and that's when they released the name of the officer. Did you think that that got the crowd more excitable or more frustrated by what was happening there?
You know what? When they released the name of the officer, I expected that to be sort of the new rallying cry. But honestly, I hardly heard his name the entire time I was there. What really irked people on Friday night and really turned the scene from, you know, being a scene of celebration where people were sort of riding up and down this 0.3-mile strip, hanging out of cars, cheering, chanting, singing, was the revelation of the security camera footage from the market wherein Michael Brown was accused of, you know, strong-arm stealing a couple of cheap cigars. That was something that they felt absolutely outraged by. They had already been in days of just nonstop stress and anger. You know, what happened after that was basically just kind of a sense of paranoia. And basically, I'm not criticizing for it. I understand it. But I heard from people who seemed otherwise level-headed just bizarre theories about how they figured that this footage must have been doctored. People were saying they understood technology. They know that you can make a picture look like anything. And they were just pretty much demonstrating that they were not really ready to believe anything that the police said. And then when it came out that the officer who stopped Michael Brown did not know that it was that he was a robbery suspect, that just made the situation worse. And I think ultimately led to the violence that we saw break out in the early mornings of Saturday.
Is this so, Justin, is your feeling that this is going to continue, or who knows by what you saw on the ground?
You know, we know there are some people on the ground right now who are trying to push for a ceasefire. I think right now, unless if there are some serious changes, I think that we're going to see more nights like this. There are some very radical actors, and it's showed that you don't really need that many people in order to generate a heavy police response. The night I was out there was 40 people tops. That generated the entire sort of tear gas, you know, assault weapons, beanbag guns and all that stuff. And that was just for 40 people. So just a number of bad actors or just a number of peaceful protesters somewhere where they're not supposed to be can, you know, generate fireworks. And unless that changes, I don't think we're going to see any shift over there.
Wow. Justin Duckham out of Washington, D.C., thanks so much as always.
Thank you.
And, of course, the latest is there have been more protests, and it is insane in Ferguson. Stun grenades, tear gas, another tense standoff once again to kick the week off. So you have police that have got riot gear. It's the familiar scene in Ferguson. All of this goes back to the protests over Michael Brown shooting death, and nothing seems to be contained there whatsoever. There is a massive pushback despite the curfew, despite the crowds, the live coverage, all of the things that Justin just described that happened to him are happening to a lot of innocent people that are caught in the middle of this, in the middle of those daily protests. When it strikes a certain hour in the evening, things get absolutely insane. Is the president doing enough? We'll hear what he has to say next here on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. choices, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
In 1965, this was the sound. Commission sound. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. Metal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
They did not want to be left having to rely on the autopsy done by the St. Louis law enforcement agencies, the same individuals they feel are responsible for executing their son in broad daylight.
That's Benjamin Crump, who talked about not relying on the St. Louis PD. Things changed on Friday, dramatically, when the police chief identified the officer who shot Michael Brown as Darren Wilson and released the security footage of Brown, and supposedly it was Brown, well, it was Brown, and allegedly going after a clerk at a convenience store and then walking out with some cigars. He looked like a big thug. And the footage was so all over the place that I think some people forgot what happened even hours later. And now you've got the crowds even more pumped up and have been for the last couple of days. So Wilson didn't know about the robbery case when he fired the shots. That's one thing that is an absolute in this whole mess that's happened in Ferguson, Missouri. He stopped Brown for jaywalking. He's walking in the middle of the street. The Brown family said it was character assassination, and they don't know whether it affected his actions during the fatal encounter or not. Was it in his mind what was happening there? It's for sure that it'd be great to see things calm down in that town in Missouri, and there's massive media presence there. Every day there's a daily sort of briefing. And then there's little bits of information that come out. And this is all after the town erupted in riots and anger and a police crackdown over a week ago. So the USA Today did an interesting thing. Someone pointed that out to me. A white police officer killed a black person nearly twice a week over a seven-year period ending in 2012. Some 18% of the blacks killed during that period were under 21 compared to 8.7% of whites. So, you know, what does that, what do the figures suggest? Do they suggest that there's excesses all the way around on this or not, or this is part of the fabric of the culture, or is this just jumping to all kinds of conclusions and putting it out there and saying, well, you know, hey, look at this numbers. Look clearly, look what's happened here. And I'll tell you, one of the craziest things that happened, and was hard to explain away, and the dumbest things, was originally early on in this, arresting a reporter from the Huffington Post and one from the Washington Post because they didn't get out of the McDonald's quickly enough. And they kind of roughed them up, which was very, very strange and stupid and, you know, became part of the conversation for a little while. But every day, something changes. Governor Jay Nixon replaced the local police commander in charge with Captain Ron Johnson, an African-American who grew up in Ferguson, who seemingly seemed to soften what the tone was. And certainly the tactics of the police, and there wasn't any arrest or any of that, and then everything got exacerbated again, and now the National Guard is there. So how far does this continue to go, and what stops it? What puts the brakes on this? What's it going to take to put the brakes on this? Let's put it that way. Coming up in our next segment on America Tonight, we're going to chat with Steve Kelly. He's the free money man. I thought we'd mix in some of that because, you know, when we're seeing what's happening in the housing market and we look at the economy and we see the evaporating middle class, you really have to take charge of your finances when it comes to retirement. I mean, how many people, for goodness sake, have 401ks are practically a thing of the past for a lot of people. So you have your own Roth or standard IRA or whatever it is. But his twist on it is pretty interesting, which is why we invited Steve Kelly to the party, because he's saying, yeah, you got to really kind of think about those dollars and what you're getting, what essentially you can do with your money besides doing the obvious things that we were told to do, like pay down the house. He's not saying don't necessarily pay down the house, but there's some people where it just doesn't seem to make any sense. And when you're trying to make up cash, cash is king, as they say. So it's always fun to chat with him. Plus, he has this great story about a ham that I think totally hits home for everybody. I couldn't even guess the punchline on this, and the punchline is really, really good. Really, really good. So, as I mentioned, stun grenades, tear gas, which is crazy, fired by the cops in what is more than a tense standoff with these protesters in Ferguson, Missouri. How far does it go before something different has to happen here? And are we just looking at a countdown every single day to the same thing? I'll tell you, if I lived in Ferguson, Missouri, I'd be so weary of all of this and just would have had enough. No matter what I think and how horrible this entire situation is, I would just say stay in. Why am I going out? Why am I jumping in at night? I'm almost answering my own question. They need to pull out the bad guys, the ones who are stirring the pot, throwing the Molotov cocktails, or they call them the poor man's bombs, whatever it is. Weed them out. Figure out a way to separate them from the other people who are just there on the street and feel like they need to protest and keep it up. Because there is a thing about protesting where, okay, so we're protesting during the day and we're walking around with signs and everything, But there is something to people who are truly trying to push their message to the 24-hour thing. Like, hey, we're going to be out there again, and we're going to be out there late, and we're going to be there early. But it's, frankly, a wasted effort because it's the same scene we're seeing with the tear gas and an 8-year-old getting tear gas in his face because he was part of the crowd. And it's just the worst. It's America at its ugliest. And I think we're just tired of seeing that. Tired of it happening to people. And the sensible thing is pull them out. Figure out a way. Isolate them. Pull out those people who probably, frankly, for the most part, don't really care about Michael Brown. They're just whipped into the frenzy. And they're not honoring him by any stretch of the imagination. If that was the intention, that's not what's happening. And quickly here, I'm going to throw this in. Even the Pope is getting into the action when it comes to the Islamic State. He's saying they have to be stopped at all costs. Wow. I thought I did a double take when I saw that. I thought, oh, that's got to be exaggerated or not put correctly or something. At all costs. I think that part where I read that somewhere was misquoting Pope Francis. However, he did say, because he was asked if he approved the American airstrikes against the Islamic State, and he said he could only say this: it is illicit not to stop the unjust aggressor. I underline the verb stop. I do not say bomb, make war. I say stop by some means. He says one nation alone can't be the judge. It is there that this should be discussed. Is it an unjust aggressor? It would seem there is. How do we stop him? That's kind of pretty much what he said. He answered his question with his own question at the tail end of that. And he's returning to Rome after a 5-day trip to South Korea. And he might have the chance to kind of clarify his arguments to the U.S. and to the U.N. So during the papal press conference, he answered a whole bunch of different things, saying he would like to visit Philadelphia in 2015 and maybe New York and Washington. He's been invited to address the UN and the U.S. Congress. Isn't that interesting? All right, coming up next, Free Money Man in the building here on America Tonight.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids. I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Visit. So excited about that with my pal, free money guy, Steve Kelly. He's come up with what an incredible notion, an opportunity for making money. And I swear, every week I hope more people are going to pay closer and closer attention to what Steve Kelly has to say, because I'll tell you what, I'm one of the converted. I used to be in a rush to hurry up and pay off my house. Oh, forget that. I put the brakes on it, and we'll explain why in just a second. Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm fine, Kate. How are you?
I'm excellent. So you told me a story earlier in the day that I would love for you to share with the listeners about two different gentlemen, several years apart, but seemingly could end up in the same dire situation financially when it's all said and done. Tell us about that story.
Well, it was really interesting. It was last week, and I was talking to, I went out and saw a fellow that was about 82, 83 years old, And, you know, the way he talked, it sounded like he had some assets and money, and he was, you know, talked about playing the market and doing some other things. Well, come to find out, he's down to about $60,000 in the bank, and they're trying to sell a house that they're living in, a very nice home that they're living in, and they're having to sell. And he thinks that he may be able to net about $130,000 out of that. And then they're going to go, they've got a little manufactured home or a trailer somewhere, and they're going to go off and, you know, try and live the rest of their lives out, you know, and not really in the style that they had lived their previous lives. And it turned out that he had had, oh, about 15, 20 years ago, about $1 million, and had made some really what I considered fairly poor calculations and misjudgments about the way to handle his money. So we were talking about some of the mistakes that he made, and one of the things that he did was he took Social Security just as soon as he could do it. And another thing that he did, he liked to talk about playing the market. And in fact, when I was looking over his budget, he had out of this this about $160,000 or $170,000 he was going to have to live with the rest of his life, he had $50,000 of it earmarked, and next to the line item on his budget, it says $50,000 play the market. So clearly he hadn't really learned his lesson, and he was just continuing on with the same patterns. Well, we had this conversation. I was kind of down when we finished, because there's not a lot I can do. I'll do what I can, but there's not a lot I can do there. The next day I saw a fellow that was about 20 years younger than he is, around 61. And he started in on this litany of things that he was going to do with his life. He had about $1 million. And it was almost like someone had recorded the person that I spoke to the day before and was playing it out of this guy's mouth. He had intended to get Social Security just as soon as he could. He was going to take his pension as a life only and you know, save the money to take care of his wife if something happened to him. And he was going to keep his money in the market because he knew he could do pretty well. And he says, I've done pretty well the last 6 months doing this as a trial. He says, it's going well now, so I'm just going to keep on doing it. And the thing that struck me, Kate, it was almost like being in one of those movies where future self comes back and talks to present self or younger self. And the interesting thing for me is that I get this kind of thing happening all the time with people. I hear them say things that I know are not going to play out well in the future for them. And yet it's very, very difficult to get through and say to them, you know, I hear you. I understand that you think you want a better life now, so you're going to spend your money now as opposed to later. But if only I could get future you to come back and talk to present you, you might have a little bit a different take on the whole situation. So anyway, it was very interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And to bring that around, it's the example that we use. It's like it's paying off the house sooner. People that are hurrying, jumping on things and trying to hurry up and get that down. But what money are they taking away? It's money. It's that opportunity for using the money that's really being thrown out the window in most cases, right?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because you're absolutely right. It's not just the money you lose by making poor decisions. There's an opportunity cost that goes along with that. So if I make poor financial decisions now and inadvertently and unnecessarily give money away or let pass through my fingers money that I don't have to, then I haven't just lost that money, but I've also lost all future opportunity to invest that money, receive a gain on that money or a return on that money, use that money to help me become more secure in the future. And the problem we have is that people are working this way because they've been trained to all of their lives. You know, you and I, when we were talking earlier, we were talking about this thing with the house and paying off the mortgage and so forth. The reason our generation, and I'm using baby boomers, the reason we baby boomers have this mindset that we have to pay off our house is because our parents had that mindset, and they got it from their parents who were Depression-era homeowners, okay? And in the Depression, loans were callable. So when the money started drying up at the banks and banks needed cash, they were going out and calling loans and booting people out of their homes, even people that were not behind on their loans or not very far behind on their loans. Now, in today's world, you can't do that. You have to be in serious default to be kicked out of your home. And so it's a different situation. And yet we still live and do things based on, you know, history 50, 60, 70 years ago. Now, before we go on, I have to say it's not always a good thing not to pay off your home. I mean, it's very difficult to use rules of thumb, but it is a potential choice, and it ought to be something somebody considers when they're considering all of the things that are available to them.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're doing here. I think it's also a matter of education, re-educating ourselves as to what, as you just described so well, what was isn't what is today and certainly doesn't look like it's going to be in the future. So there is something about that liquidity and using that money to actually have the opportunity to make more money, right?
Yeah. And I'm not saying you take money out of your home and you get a mortgage and then you go out and you put it in the stock market and you gamble it. That would be a very imprudent thing to do. But I am saying that, you know, if you have a safe place to put your money and you can get a reasonable rate of return, and even if that rate of return is just the same as what you'd be paying on your mortgage, right now, 30-year loans are very, very inexpensive. And if you can pay back a loan at the same rate of inflation, if your interest rate is the same rate as the rate of inflation, essentially that is free money. That's an interest-free loan. And, you know, it kind of goes back to we were talking about the ham story today. Mm. And you seem to like that. And, you know, it reminded me of a woman I knew who was baking a ham, and she put it in her oven and glazed it. But before she put it in the oven, she cut the ends off the ham. And her daughter watched her do this, and after she put it in the oven, she said to her mom, "Why do you cut the ends off your ham?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. My mom always did it, so I've always kind of followed suit. Why don't we go ask her?" So they went in the next room and they asked Grandma, "Why do you cut the ends off the ham before you put it in the oven?" And Grandma said, "You know, I don't know. My mom always did that. Why don't we go ask Great Grandma?" And so they went and they asked Great Grandma, "Great Grandma, why did you cut the ends off the ham when you put it in the oven?" And she said, "Back in my day, ovens were so small you couldn't get a whole ham in the oven and you had to cut the ends off." So what we have is we have generations of people doing things that may or may not be the wisest thing based on just sort of this collective memory that we all have. And what we try and do is help people kind of see through those things and figure out what might be a better way to go.
So I love it.
That's just it.
I love it. That story sums up this whole conversation. Think of the ham, folks. Think of the ham. After we talked today, I'm not kidding you, I cut out a picture of a ham and I put it right there on top of my PC so I could see the ham and visualize exactly what we were talking about. Steve Kelly, Free Money Guy, thanks so much. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Kate.
Me too. Thanks.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guy's giant factory authorized sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high quality Mountain House freeze dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now's the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best tasting, longest proven shelf life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The giant factory authorized Mountain House sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare fuel is the answer. Spare fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, spare fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This hour of America tonight, and a ton of you had a lot to say. So our mailbag, once again, overflowing. If you want to mix in your two cents, by the way, we never shut you out here on the show, 855-266-5283. But without further ado, let's hit the emails.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Fred, who says, Kate, first time I've emailed the show. Got to tell you, like it, baby girl. I don't remember the last time anyone called me that. But okay, Fred, I'll take it. I get it. And he says, boy, it's crazy what's happening in Ferguson. What I don't understand is why does this keep on going? And I guess I'm answering my own question because we still don't know all the details of what happened, and that's part of the problem. And then withholding the name of the cop, releasing at the same time they trashed him in a video that was not a cool video to release. When the guy was shot six times, I just don't understand. And, you know, there was something that came out of D.C., and I think you mentioned it from the president saying that the whole militarization thing was going to be reviewed, as it actually should be in Ferguson. I certainly would hate to be a cop there, though, I can tell you that for sure. Yeah, they're going to do that. Eric Holder is traveling to Ferguson on Wednesday of this week. I thought he was already going to be down there, but I guess they had to push that off Wednesday. And he's going to meet with the FBI and all the people that are doing the investigating, because once again, we had violence on Sunday and on Monday. And the president and everybody else is saying, stop looting. Stop doing these violent things. You're hurting and not helping the situation there. You're creating the chaos, the anger, the looting, the carrying guns. The attacking police only raises tension and stirs chaos. And that's exactly what it does. So now they're talking about reviewing what happened and the response there and how that could help. Here's another one. This one comes to us from Bobby in Illinois. Kate, the usual, please. I won't have another when it comes to Ferguson. I'm really tired of seeing what the people are doing to each other down there. All we need is love, and we're not getting any of it out of that small Missouri town. Whether there's been tensions in the past or tensions now or it's gotten worse, who cares? I would say this. It is not doing any service to the Brown family or to the city itself to be constantly under the microscope, have everybody talking about it and saying, oh, thank God, that's not my town. What would it be like to live in Ferguson, Missouri? Well, with what's happening now, it'd be terrible. Because, first of all, you had the curfew, then they lifted the curfew because the curfew didn't really work. You've had three different branches of law enforcement, in a sense, have to come down there to try to do whatever they could to police the crowds that are just crazy out of their minds when it hits a certain, it's like the witching hour. Boom, it's like we have an eclipse every night there. And now we're going to start throwing bottles on fire, and we're going to throw rocks, and we're furious, and we're going to start to swear at the top of our lungs, and it's not doing anything. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's not doing anything to certainly, if the deal is honoring Michael Brown, how does that honor him? It doesn't honor him. If anything, it just trashes the town and has everybody looking in on the chaos. And so even now, oh, okay, you're going to be a case study for militarization. We're going to actually look at this, because I think Democrats and Republicans would agree to that. So let's monitor this and let's look at this in the end. And imagine being the Missouri governor, Jay Nixon. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, what do I do now? Okay, well, let's do the National Guard. That's what we should do, right? Because we have to contain this. We have to limit what's happening that's nasty, and we have to figure out an appropriate way to do that. And what's appropriate? What's appropriate in those situations? Imagine you're standing there. Well, of course, you better have something on your head if you're getting smashed by bottles and things are being thrown at you. But then when you see the tanks and then you hear with the tear gas being used, like, automatically. We had Justin Duckham on the show, who comes on quite often, who reports for Talk Radio News. And he was in Ferguson, and he said it was a small crowd on Friday, and he was stunned. He couldn't believe it. And he was in the middle of tear gas. He got gassed along with everybody else, had no mask. So for a day and a half, his eyes were on fire, and he saw some crazy, chaotic things, and then was told by the chief of police in Ferguson that there were people that had guns, and they were worried about people with guns that were in windows, and so that's why they had to do it. And then so you start to question that. Well, what are the tactics, and what should they be doing, or what can they do differently? And this is, I mean, this is crazy, where we have so many other things that are out of control in this world, and this is just another one to add to the pile. And it's awful. It's awful all the way around. There is no good side to this, and we don't even know all the facts either in this case. So what happens? We line up all the facts. 6 times Michael Brown was shot. We had Bud, who called us, who's a frequent caller and listener to America Tonight. He's a cop, a longtime cop in Camden, New Jersey, which has been ranked one of the worst places, one of the most dangerous places in the United States. And he said that if they were to use more than four shots to bring somebody down, there would be some questions about their ability to shoot, and it's not acceptable in the police force there. So the Brown autopsy showed at least six shots. Then you listen to the description that he was coming at him, charging him, reaching for his gun. So there are those question marks that we might not really get the answers that we think we should get in the end anyway, but there is absolutely some big giant holes in what's happened, because we only know a little bits and pieces of the story, and so much of it has to do with points of view and little leaks that are coming out, and then things that are blown up in different directions. It's like a sad, twisted game of modern-day telephone, but you're talking about a serious powder keg with tensions, with one 18-year-old dead, a family grieving, people reaching out to the family, and nothing solid, concrete to hang on to here and say, okay, this is it. Who, what, where, when, and why, and this is what happened, and we leave no doubt, no stone unturned. Okay, I went off on a tangent. This one comes to us from Jake in Austin. Hello, Jake. And Jake says, Kate, oh my, oh my. I would say something about Ferguson, but I can only imagine that there will be so many people that will mention Ferguson that instead I'm going to go with something completely different, wondering if you saw Johnny Manziel flip the bird to the Washington Redskins. He did. Oh, yes, he did. It happened in the third quarter of the Brownies' preseason game against Washington. He is not currying favor with very many people. And if you watch the video of it, oh, it is so, so clear. It happened after an incomplete pass. His own coach, pretty disappointed about it. Yeah, I saw the video. I was not watching the game, but I went back and looked at the video, and there is no doubt. He left no doubt on that one. The video does not lie. Hey, thanks for sending me your thoughts. You can do the same. AmericaTonight.net. Click on contact. And my ode to James Gandolfini. Bada bing. You are in.
The Big Berkey Water Filter.
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.